If you guys want to take a seat just for a brief moment, I've been asked to just give us a little thought, and then we're going to hear from somebody far more qualified later, aren't we, Dan? But tonight's not really about kind of a great exposition of Scripture. Tonight is really all about praising Jesus for what today is. And so I just want to briefly kind of tell you a story. Because tonight, yeah, we want to praise Jesus for the cross. Yes, we want to praise him for his resurrection. But we also want to praise him for what that means to our lives now. So I want to tell you a story. All right, a story that I was told as a young person by a guy named Nick. Now, Nick and his family, not this Nick, sorry, Nick. Looking a bit awkward there. By a guy named Nick. And Nick and his family owned a shop. Well, his parents owned it. He lived there above it with his family. And it was one of these shops in a small town. It was like a corner shop. So it had sweets and drinks and everything. But also, because it was kind of out of the sticks a little bit, it had some slightly more expensive items as well. Kind of like radios, you know, sort of things that you get in those shops where they're in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, one night, Nick gets a little bit peckish in the middle of the night and decides he's going to sneak down and grab a little chocolate bar from the shop. I know, it's terrible, isn't it, Jemima? Stealing. But he goes down and doesn't turn any of the lights on for fear that his parents might wake up. He sneaks into the shop and in his haste to find a chocolate bar and not having turned the lights on, he walks straight into a display and knocks the whole thing over. Massive crash, bang. But for some reason, his parents don't wake up. And he sets about thinking, hang on, I can get this up. I can get all this back into its rightful place before they even get up in the morning. So he puts the shelves back up, and he starts to put the things back on the shelves. It takes him a little bit longer than he expected, and the sun starts to rise. And he's managed to get pretty much everything back on the shelves the way he thinks it goes. And he notices that all the price tags are still on the floor. So he starts to just put them on anywhere, just wherever he can find them. Tries to do it kind of right, but not quite. And then his worst fears are realized as his parents arrive at the door. Having noticed that he wasn't there, hearing a bit of a commotion, they came downstairs. And sure enough, he got a bit of a rocket. They had a little bit of a go of him, but he was apologetic and very, what's the word, grovelly? Is that a word? Very, very much, oh, I'm very, very sorry. And sure enough, they forgave him. But then he told us of how his dad looked at the display and began to chuckle. Because as he looked closer at the display, he'd put the price tags in completely the wrong places. He had a chocolate bar worth £50 and a radio for 10p. You know, he'd just put them all in the wrong places. And that, he said, and now I want to say, is exactly what Easter does for us. All the price tags are in completely different places. Before Jesus, before we met him, before we knew him, before the resurrection, before the cross, we might have gone after, may have put value on things like our job and our money and food and all these things that we think that we need, and some things we do actually need, but we put them so high, the price tag on them was massive. But after the cross, after the resurrection, things look very different. The prices are put all over the place. Everything is turned on its head. Now, those things are important, yes, but they're nowhere near as important as knowing Jesus. They're nowhere near as important as following him. They're nowhere near as important as loving each other the way he loved us. The price tags are all in different places. And the thing that blows my mind about Easter is the price tag that is on me and the price tag that is on you. Because that price tag is one son of God. Every person you meet, that price tag is on them. Jesus himself paid the price for them. That is the price tag on each of them. Even the most annoying people you meet, that is their price tag. And that is all because of today. And I just don't know about you, but I want to pray and then I want to praise like mad for what he paid for me. Let's just pray. Oh, Jesus, you are unbelievable. To put that price on me, to put that price on us, and to pay it is just beyond what we can understand. We thank you for the way you turn our lives upside down, for the way that you put things into perspective for us, the way that you put price and put emphasis on the things of eternity rather than the things of the everyday. And we just pray tonight that we would just thank you, that we would be able to just for a moment get to a place of worship that is worthy of you and what you have done for us. Help us, Father, we pray, to lay aside our inhibitions, our embarrassment, that we might praise your Son for what he did. Amen.
Jesus is alive. That's the sort of response I'm looking for. What an amazing witness. What an amazing thing to celebrate tonight. You know, we've sung about it tonight. We've thought about it this morning. It's an incredible thing. But I want to really think some more about what that means in our life. Now, Joff this morning talked a little bit about how important it is. Sorry, can we get the lights just slightly down? I'm getting blinded here. Can't see a thing. Joff talked a little bit this morning about how important it is that the Gospels present Jesus' resurrection as bodily, physical, human. And he doesn't just spiritually raise from the dead, but he raises as a human. We see this, you know, Thomas touches the wounds of Christ, his hands and his feet. We see that he eats, you know, beside the Sea of Galilee, having his picnic with them and eating with them in the room there. And we also see this as he walks alongside the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And we see that although maybe he's gained some interesting extra abilities, you know, walking through locked doors, that's something I'd love to do, or be able to almost seemingly teleport as well. Although his resurrection body has some perhaps new abilities, you know, he's very much still human, fleshy, one of us. And he's still human then when he climbs the hill with his disciples, still human when he blesses them, and they're still human when he ascends into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father, retaining his humanity, fully man, fully God, for all eternity. It's just mind-blowing. Yet the Son of God, God himself, the Almighty One who created everything, the Holy One whose name couldn't even be spoken, it was so holy, comes and dwells in humanity, becomes a baby. We all know the story, becomes a baby, lives a human life, eats with us, lives with us, weeps human tears, dies a human death on a human cross, is laid in a human tomb, and then rises again from the dead in bodily form as a human and sits at the right hand of the Father in human form. You know, that's just mind-blowing. The Trinity itself has a human person within it. That's just incredible. And this man, this person we read about, isn't some obscure person. This is the man we read about in our Gospels, who is alive and reigns today. This man who is said to be full of grace and truth. This man who we know is full of compassion and love. And this very image of God in human form still is there at the right hand of the Father, still as a human. So what? Well, I think this is so incredible because it means that we know that God cares. We can have confidence that God understands us, that he listens to us. You know, sometimes God can seem very distant, very complex. Actually, my studies have shown me this more and more. You know, I get wrapped up in the mysteries and the complexities until I struggle to even understand who God is. But we know who God's character is, what his character is, don't we? By his Son, by the very image of God seen in Jesus Christ. And this Jesus who knows what it's like to go through our pain, to go through our sufferings. And we see this in Hebrews 4, which says, "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." Sometimes the resurrection can feel like a nice story. A historical story, yeah, but a nice story of the past. Or alternatively, it can sometimes just feel like a nice thing for hope in the future. Something that isn't particularly relevant now, but that will become increasingly more relevant. And although these two things are clearly important, the historicity of the resurrection, hugely, massively important. You know, if there is no resurrection, then our faith is meaningless. And at the other end, this hope, what precious hope this is. But I think the very fact that Jesus is resurrected in human form, that he prays for us in human form, that he ascends in human form, means that we can approach the throne of God with confidence today. That Jesus stands at the heavenly altar, pleading on our behalf for us. It's just mind-blowing. That we can pray with confidence, and knowing that the same Jesus truly understands us, truly knows our needs, our emotions, our pain. You know, his hands held in prayer still bear the marks of the cross. And so it's good news. It was good news to the disciples in the past. It's good news now, and it will be good news forevermore. Jesus is alive. Amen.